Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I believe him tonight. I believe in what he's doing. I believe in who he says he is and what he says he is and how he said he is and what he said he'll do. I believe him tonight. I believe in everything he's doing. I believe in what he wants to do. And I read in your hearing last Sunday, Matthew chapter number 18, verse number 19. Now, I ain't going to preach this, but I want to piggyback off of it. I want to pick up where I left off. The Bible says, and again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Now you believe that tonight? I believe it too. But God give me another message to go right hand in hand with that one, and that's where I'm going to pick up tonight. John chapter number 20. We'll begin reading in verse number 19. John chapter 20 and verse number 19. When finding your place, if you would stand for the reverence of the reading of God's word tonight. John chapter number 20 and verse number 19. Now the Bible reads, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he shewed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were with him, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's verse 19 through verse 29, verse 29, if correctly read. Let us pray. Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray tonight, God, you'd help us. Father, I pray, God, you'd move in this service, Lord. You already have. And Father, I thank you, God, for what you've done thus far. Now, Lord, I pray, God, tonight, Lord, that you'd meet the needs of your people. And God, Father, I pray you'd help us to believe, God, wholeheartedly tonight, Father, that you are who you say you are. And Father, you can do exactly what you say you'll do. And Father, I pray tonight, God, you'd illuminate my mind. And I pray, God, you'd loose my lips. Father, I pray you'd touch your people tonight. Father, I pray you'd help us, God, to become that servant, God, you stand in need that we need to be. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight, God, as we enter into revival. God, this is a turning point. And I believe it is, God. And I believe you want to do something, God. And Father, I pray you'd help us be humble, God, in what you need done. Help us, Father, this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God be my helper tonight. I want to preach on this thought. Believing under receiving. Believing unto receiving. I want to pick up where I left off last Sunday. As I agree with each and every one of you with what the Lord's having done, I agree with what you're praying about, and I agree with these prayer requests, these needs that you have. And I agree with what everything that we, there's a lot that needs to be prayed about. There's a lot on our prayer list. There's a lot on our preacher's mind. There's a lot in what you've need and prayed, and I'm agreeing with you. And as the Bible so reads, as any two touching anything on earth shall agree, the Bible says it shall be done. You agree that tonight? You believe that tonight? But Lord, begin to deal with me as I begin to read and study that there's some of us that we agree, but we really don't believe that the Lord can do it. We agree that God can, and we're agreeing that God can answer these prayers. We're agreeing with what you're praying about, but God has burned my heart that we are to believe when we pray. We are to believe in the one true living God, that He is who He says He is, and He'll do what He'll say He'll do. And if God wants to send revival, I believe God can send revival. I want to receive because we're believing. I want Bethel to receive what God has. But first we must believe. I see, first of all, I see a brisk reassurance as we come in to chapter number 20 and verse number 19. We see here this being one of the greatest days in our history as Christians. The greatest day that we have come across is when the Lord Jesus Himself stepped out of the tomb on the first day of the week, and He ascended back into glory where He now makes intercession for us. That is the greatest day, and the second greatest day ought to be the day you got saved. Bless God, because if it wasn't for Him, when He stepped out of the tomb, where would we be? Where would we be tonight? But as we come in, we see He's done dealt with Mary there, and He spoke to her in a native tongue that she hears and she understands, that she would know that it is God that she believes in. It is God that she's put all matter of trust in. It is the one God that she's seen do all the miracles. It is the one God that's took care of her, and she's took care of Him, and that is Him. And when He spoke her name, she understood who was speaking. But we come into verse number 19. We see the brisk reassurance. We see the Bible says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear. Why was they in fear? Well, simple reason to come to why they were in fear is simply because you've got 12 disciples that has followed Jesus every step of the way and every day. The only time they wasn't with Him is when the Lord said, I need to pray and I shall depart. I go hence to pray. I go there to pray. I'm going to get along to pray. He said, it's preeminent for me. It's very vital that I get along to go speak to the Father, that I go to my secret place. As the Bible said, if you pray in secret, He said, I shall reward thee openly. The Bible said, bless God, the many times the Lord went to pray. Other than that, the disciples were with Him. They stood in fear because they seen the same Jesus as we read in the prayer room, as He stepped out on the shore, come through a desert place in the book of Matthew, chapter about 15, I believe. As we see there, as He came, He said, we're going to feed this group of 5,000 individuals, not counting the men and the women, or excuse me, the women and the children. He said, we're going to feed these. And they seen Him do it. They seen Him feed the 5,000. They seen the 15 baskets, coffin size, filled with fragments. They seen Him do all that. They seen Him heal the woman at the well. They seen Him heal the many people and the woman that come through, and she went down to the meal barrel day and day and day, day again. They know about all these things. They've seen all this, but they're yet in fear. Why is that? Because the man they've seen do all these. They watched Him die. They watched Him take His last breath. Watched Him pulled off the cross and carried into the tomb. I'd be standing in fear as well. But I'll tell you, it's a brisk reassurance. The Bible says, as the door's being shut, God stepped in the room. And He stood real still. Where nobody, I mean, there was not a soul knowed what was going on, not a soul. I know the Bible said, did our hearts not burn within us when the Lord drew nigh? I believe the Lord was so much God in that place, they didn't know what to do. And God just stood still in the midst. What's verse number 20 say? The Bible says in verse number 20, we read, it says, verse 19, the back half says, peace be unto you. And then when He had said so, He shewed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. We see this brisk reassurance where all fear vanished when the Lord stepped on the scene. When all matter vanished when the Lord stepped on the scene. There's been many times in my life when I've been scared to death. There's been many times in my life when I didn't know what was going to happen, what was going to do, but it was all a brisk reassurance. It was very refreshing when the Lord stepped again on my life. There's been times when I got away from God. There's been times when my worry has took me spiritually away from God, when worrisome takes me away, when the struggles of this life drag me away, but it's so brisk, it's so reassuring when God steps on the scene and he stands there and he ain't even going to say a word because you know he's there and you just have reassurance because he's there. We see the brisk reassurance. But not only there, I see second of all, I see the bountiful requirement in verse 21 through 23. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he said, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." We see, second of all, I see the bountiful requirement. We see as the Lord showed up, he said he breathed on them. God breathed on these individuals. The individuals that were so filled with fear, individuals that were so covered up, and they didn't know what to do. They were sitting in a room behind closed doors, locked up because their Savior, the one true living God, had been crucified before their eyes. Well, God showed up. There's a requirement when the Lord shows up. Do you agree? God showed up in your life, there's a requirement that you turn from your way and you go a different way. You go the way God wants you to be. There's a requirement when the Lord showed up. The Bible says that he breathed on them. He breathed life into them. It says there, when he said, shoot unto them his hands, his feet, and they were disciples glad and they saw him. And the Lord Jesus said unto them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. He breathed into me the day I got saved. You think about it, even plug back into Genesis there where he breathed life into the nostrils of Adam. And not only that, he took a rib out of Adam and created Eve, and there he breathed life into her nostrils. Not only there, he created all the beings, and I'm sure he breathed life all over them. Breathed life across this earth. He breathed life into each and every one of us. We see here three things about this bountiful requirement. We see the presence of peace. In verse 21 says, And Jesus said unto them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Man, the presence of the Lord when he shows up. Man, his peace that passeth all understanding. When you pray and you don't know what to pray. When you pray, even you're agreeing, but you still don't understand. When he shows up in his presence, it's so real, it's peaceful. I think not only there we see the presence of his peace. We see the power of his peace. In verse 22 says, And when he said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Right then and there, not only the disciples, they had power. Don't get me wrong. They followed the man that was power. They followed the true living God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was him. Everything about him was true God, and they followed that. For 33 and a half years, they went after him, sought after him. Look at what all he done. He picked them out, handpicked them, and chose them, gave peace on their lives. But he showed them power when he breathed on them. He gave them that power, said, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Right then, there was a bountiful requirement in that certain time when he required so much of them. But now that he's breathed on them, he's requiring that much the more. You think about when the Lord breathed on you and breathed on your life, breathed on your ministries. God required that much more. When you got saved, now he's required that you read your Bible and you study and try to go after God and go seeking God. When the Lord calls you to preach, that's even more time in prayer and supplication and studying. But there's so much more peace. The more you get in the Word, the more peaceful it is. The more greater it is when you get in that Word, and the more power is behind it. Closer you get to God. I see thirdly in these three verses, we see not only the presence of his peace, we see the power of his peace, but I see the proctor of his peace. In verse 23, he said, Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. They there had great authority to do great and mighty things because the Lord breathed on them and receive and give them the Holy Ghost in which they stood in need of. But I think thirdly, I see here in verses 24 and 25, the Bible says, we see, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them then when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thirdly, we see here, we see the boisterous refusal. Thomas, being the doubter that he is, Thomas had seen the same things that the other men seen, experienced the same things that God has done that the other men experienced. But Thomas said, I ain't going to believe. The preacher preached last week about agreeing, and he got up and went in a wild way, that if two of us shall agree touching anything on earth, the Lord said it shall be done, but I ain't going to believe it unless the Lord just do it for me. Don't get quiet on me now. I'm just preaching what the Lord said. But he said there, we see this refusal, as Thomas said, unless the Lord show up and show me his hands and let me. Now listen, this is where Thomas got very particular with his prayer. Thomas said, it would be one thing if I could see his hands and see his side. But Thomas said, if it's truly the Lord and that's him, I want to see his hands and I want to stick my finger in it and I want to see his side. Not only do I want to stick my finger in it, but he said, I want to thrust my hand into the true living God, into that side where the spear ran. That's what Thomas said. Thomas is in doubt once again. He's refusing once again unless God do something. And I see fourthly here in verse 26 through 29, the Bible says, and after 8 days, that eight being the new beginnings, the number of new beginnings, said again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors once again being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Now he didn't stop and go around and start shaking all the disciples' hands. He didn't go and greet one of them. The Lord came back on one purpose and one occasion, and that's to speak to Thomas directly. And he came directly to speak to him, to get a hold of him, to get a hold of his attention. And the Lord's came back tonight as we start this revival. As last Sunday was good, I believe a lot of prayers got answered, but there's some of you that really wasn't truly believing. You might have been agreeing, but you really wasn't believing because you're like Thomas, and you said, unless the Lord do it for me, unless the Lord do this for me and let me lay my hands on it and see it for my own eyes, I ain't going to believe. Well, the Lord showed back up just for Thomas. The same sense as the Lord has showed back up just for you tonight, that the Lord would do something that you might believe, that you might get a hold of God and get a hold of what he's done, that this could be a true turning point of revival, that we could go a whole another direction, that the church could go a whole another direction, that God could do what he needs to do here at Bethel. I see here, the Lord came back just for Thomas. He come back, said he stood in the midst, said peace be unto you. And I believe when he stepped in the room, he made a direct beeline to where Thomas was. He wasted no time. The Lord is not going to waste time. He's here for a short amount of time, and he's here to do a straight and exact work, do exactly what the Father needs. He said, I be about my Father's business, and I believe it's about his Father's business, that when he stepped in the door, hey, listen, the door was shut like it is. It was locked once again, and they were in there. So the Lord just showed up and stood. Peace be unto you. Don't nobody get up and run her off. Everybody stay calm. Said he made a direct beeline. Come over here to Thomas, and he said, Thomas, how are you today? You imagine? I'm serious now. The Lord's come back this Sunday night. You ain't truly believing like you ought to. You might be agreeing, but there's still some prayer requests need to be answered. There's still some things needs need to be touched. There's revival needs to go on in this church, and it can't happen until we as Bethel, as a congregated whole, truly believe that God can do it. You might as well call us a Thomas. God showed back up tonight. And he said here in verse 27, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hands and thrust it into my side. He said, what? Be not faithless, but believing. We see here as the Lord came straight in. He said, Thomas, behold my hands. sticky finger in it. What do you think about that? I said, Thomas, thrust your hand in it. What do you think about that? You want to see revival, Jerry? Well, hold his hands. Touch his hands. Get his side.
Thank
you, Lord. You got a need needs to be met? You really want to believe? Lord showed back up, Matthew, and said, behold my hands, son. He said, you agree? That's one thing. See my side. It's really me, and I can really do it. Carrie, you want that need to be met? The Lord showed up and said, touch my hands. You see the nail prints? Look at my side. It's really me. I can do it. Bethel, do you want to see revival this week? Do you want to see souls saved for the glory of God, for the cause of Christ? Do you want to see this church go and the things be grown and the operations here be grown because God be glorified and He can do it? Do you agree on that matter? But better yet, do you believe truly when you're praying, when you're agreeing that you are sitting in front of Almighty God and He's standing there with a notepad and you got all matter confidence in Him, fully believing that when you pray, He's hearing your prayer and you're agreeing on these prayers? Bless God. It's one thing to agree. It's one thing to agree. But it's a whole other thing to agree, fully believing that God is who He says He is, and God can do what He says He'll do. God's come back tonight to show you His hands and to show you His feet and show you His nail prints and the spear marks. Tim, did God show you His nail prints and His spear marks this week? Do you believe now that God is who He says He is and God can do what He says He'll do, that God is Almighty God and He answers prayer? That's a walking miracle. He showed up in that operating room, said, young'uns, look at here. He said, here's my hands, here's my feet. He said, not only sit, bless God, put your hands on it, touch it that ye might believe. Bless God, He said, get your hand in there. He didn't say touch it then. He said, thrust your hand. He said, thrust it in there that you might believe, that you might understand that I am who I say I am, that I am Almighty God. I hung on the cross for you. I died for you, and I'm here today that you might believe, that you might have understanding. Amen. It's one thing to agree. Yes. It's a whole other thing to believe what you're praying.
Amen.
I can take any Joe Blow off the street, and we can go pray, and that's one thing, all good and well. But it's a whole old, totally another different thing if we can agree on the same matter, believing God can do it. These boys can come to me out of faith. I'm sure they probably got faith in me. It ain't much, and I ain't much, but I can pray with them. We can pray about a need and a matter, and that'd be one thing. And that'd probably make them feel good if I'd agree, and they'd hear me saying I agree out of my mouth. But it's a whole other thing, and these boys got confidence in me, that they believe that I believe what I'm praying about and who I'm praying to. And I fully agree on this matter tonight that we need revival. Our church needs revived. Souls need to be saved. Our church needs to grow. Our Sunday school needs to grow. Further than that, that's above all of that, our school needs to grow. We're out of room. We need more room. We need more kids. God's wanting to do. How can He do if we agree, fully believing that He is who He says He is, and He can do what He'll say He'll do? And He's here tonight, and He's came, and I've read the Word, and He said, listen, it's how God works. When you ask God specific things, God gives specific answers. Thomas said, unless I see His hands and I stick my finger in it, unless I see His side and I thrust my hand in it, he said, I ain't believing. I ain't got time for it. Don't even come back around. Well, about 8 days later, which is the number of new beginnings, not only was it good for completion, but God said today, Thomas, it's going to be a new beginning for you, a new walk for you. You're going to be believing more than you ever have. You'll have a new belief on me. God showed up and said, Thomas, I don't want you to see it, son, but touch it. Touch it. Get your hands on and touch it. What do you need to be touched tonight, church? What is it you need touched tonight? What's it going to be? God showed up and said, here's my hands. Touch them, Brother J.C. Say, touch the nail marks. Thrust your hand in my side, Mary. What needs do you have? What needs to be met? Touch them, Miss Emily. God can do it. I believe He can. I got all matter of confidence. He is who He says He is. He can do what He says He'll do. Not only am I agreeing with these prayer requests, Miss Connie, Brother Vince, Brother John, But I believe when I pray. I pray God send revival. Not only do I pray, agree with everybody else, but I believe He send revival. I believe He save your loved ones. I believe He heal Miss Carissa like He did, and He done it. Why did He do it? Because He can, because He's God. We ask specifically, God answered specifically. Showed up, He came to Thomas. He said, you behold my hand, son. You stick your hand in it, your finger. He said, you look at my side and you do it. He said, be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, but yet have believed. I ask you tonight, the Lord showed up last Sunday. There's evidence of that. God's answering prayers all over the building. But I firmly believe it takes two or three of you. God help us. That God's wanting to do. God's wanting to meet them needs. But we've got to believe that He can do it. I believe tonight God can send revival. And I'm praying and I'm agreeing with every one of y'all. God touch Brother Leonard tomorrow night. And I'm agreeing and I'm fully believing that God's going to do a great mighty work in singing. And He can. And He will. But we must believe tonight. As the Lord told Thomas, said, Thomas, blessed are ye because ye have seen and have believed. He said, but blessed are them that have not seen but have faith, and yet they still believe. They had faith. They believed. So I asked you tonight, do you believe? And I know I preached about a year ago in a revival here about just believe, but this is totally different. I believe you believe. But do you believe when you pray that you're standing in front of Him? And I'm talking standing in front of Almighty God. Stand up, Seth. As if you walked up to Him, Seth starts giving me his prayer requests, and the Lord's standing there writing them down. We can agree on these needs all day long. And God said He'd do it. Lord, I believe, forgive mine unbelief. I believe He can. You got needs. Brother Matthew, you've got needs, and I agree with them needs, but I agree believing God can touch these needs. Brother Bobby, you got needs, and I agree that God can do it, but I believe. No, don't I agree, I believe God can do it. I don't want no unbelief in my life. I don't want no unbelief because I want there to be belief that when God does it, it's because there's two or three of us agreed on it, and that two or three of us agreed, we believe. Because the one with disbelief is the one weak link in the chain. It's going to tear down the whole situation. So I ask tonight, as I preached on this thought, believing unto receiving. You stand to your feet. Do you believe tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed, that God is who He says He is? God do what He says He'll do. There's a whole load of yins come to the altar last Sunday, and you agreed on some things. God said there's a few more needs to believe, and God wants to do in your life. But will you let Him? Will you believe that God is who He says He is, and He'll do what He say He'll do? I'm sure I could turn loose the whole Blevins family and let them testify that God is who He says He is, and God has done what He said He'll do. As the Bible said, where any two shall agree on earth touching anything, He said, it shall be done. But as He looked at Thomas, He said, not only Thomas, you see my hands. He said, put your finger in my hands. You thrust your hand into my side. He said, blessed Thomas are you because you've seen and have believed. But blessed are them that have not seen, but yet they still believe. Do we believe tonight that God can? Do we believe tonight that God is who He says He is? That He can do what He said He'll do? God wants to send revival tonight, and it's going to take us as a congregation, us as a whole, you as a church, fully believing, fully agreeing in agreement that God is who He says He is. He can do what He says He'll do. He'll send revival. He'll save souls. He'll change and turn this thing around. I believe tonight that this is a turning point for Bethel, a great turning point. Would there be anybody else now? You be serious. You come to this altar. I believe God's wanting to do something. Anybody else before we pray? Anybody else at all? Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we pray tonight. God, we're believing, Father.
God, would you come back, meet with us on Thursday night? If it be your will, God, you just keep.